Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and we'll read two verses there, verses 74 and 75. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear,
Amen.
In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.
Amen. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the truth of the word. We thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, there's a lot of things being said now. There's a lot of things going around in the airwaves. But Heavenly Father, our charter is the Word of God.
Amen.
And Lord, we take our direction from the Word of God. If you told us not to fear, then Lord, you expect us not to fear, but to trust in Thee. Father, I pray, Lord God, in the midst of all the paranoia and the fervor of what's going on around us in this day, that you would give us a calm faith,
Amen.
And a rest in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we commit this word into your hands, and we just pray you bless it, Lord, and speak to our hearts. And Lord, forgive us for our iniquities. Forgive me, Lord. Cover me in your precious blood, Lord. Cover us all in your precious blood today. How we need the protection of the blood of God. Do we deserve it? Not at all. But we implore you by your mercy and grace. Lord, put your hand upon us and keep us, Lord, as we commit ourselves this morning into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, for God's glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. So this wonderful gospel here in Luke starts off and introduces us to how God would have us to live before him all the days of our lives.
Amen.
And he said the first thing is that we would be delivered out of the hands of our enemies. Secondly, that we might serve him without fear.
Yeah, that's right.
And thirdly, in holiness and in righteousness before him. Not for a short period of time, but all the days of our life. A security, all the days of our life. A deliverance, all the days of our life. Deliverance from fear and in holiness and righteousness before him. This morning I want to just, Lord help me to be able to express this, because so many things are said, but we want to make sure that what we say is true. I mean, there's so many things that are being said at the moment, and it seems like there's a certain hysteria that takes over with people, and everybody's got a view and interpretation of what's happening, even me. So, but we want to know and observe that which is true. But there is a new culture that I see developing in the world, and it's a culture of fear.
Yes.
And I think fear is the enemy's, probably his number one tactic is fear. Because if he can get people to fear, then he's got a great weapon in relation to control. And if you look at every dictatorship, if you look at every regime, if you look at during Germany and before the Second World War, you look at Hitler, he built fear into people. He had a propaganda minister that was constantly sending out messages of fear, messages against the Jewish people, until in the end, the people became so entrapped that they didn't have the ability to think anymore. And I think that's what fear does. It takes away your ability to think sensibly and to think logically. And I think it's one of the... In order for Satan to get control of this world, He's got to get the people in such a position of fear that he can then start to dictate things. Because nobody minds what the measures are if the fear is great enough. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody minds being isolated if the fear is great enough of what the ramifications of not isolating are. So a new culture is developing, I believe, in the world. I just want to mention just a few of them. There's the climate change fear. This is an ever-increasing message. It is growing and growing and growing. When we think of the response to the bushfires, and not only that, this media goes throughout the whole of the world. It's not just in Australia. Everybody was contacting, saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Is everything all right? Because there was such a widespread coverage and message that was going right out across the world. Now, the bushfires were terrible. Nobody's denying the fact that the bushfires were terrible. But they weren't the worst we've had. They weren't the worst we've had. You'd think they were, but they really weren't the worst we've had. Statistically, they weren't the worst we've had. And then all of a sudden, you get this climate change hysteria until everybody, people that aren't thinking correctly, are blaming the current government, and the Prime Minister, who's only been in for 6 months or whatever it is, blaming him for the fact that they haven't done enough on climate change, and because of that, we've got these bushfires. Our whole ecology is geared around bushfires. So it becomes something now you can't have a documentary, you can't have everything is giving that message out that we need to fear the changing climate. But you know, I don't know whether I sent this around. There's a couple of things that I perhaps should send around. One is from a Dr. Patrick Michaels, who is one of the top experts on climate change in the entire world. And he made a few comments, and I'll send you that clip, and I'll also send you the other one. Brother Emick was wanting to play that this morning. I thought it better I'd just send it to everybody's address because it'll get to everybody then. And that is a few quotes of Brother Branham that he said about the plagues that are coming and different things. And I read one of those last Sunday. But this Dr. Patrick Michaels was saying there are 32 models and there's only one that gives accurate data. He said that of the 32 models, the only one that's accurate is the Russian one. The other 31 models that are used by scientists and backed by governments are flawed. So they've been predicting it's going to get far too warm, and their models, when they put the parameters in there, are not predicting that. So what they're doing is what they call it is parameterizing. So they'll put another parameter into the model to make it come up to the heat and the temperature that they're forecasting. And so you can see it's nothing but, to me, it's propaganda. What this particular Dr. Patrick Michaels said is that in the early 20th century, the 1920s, there was some warming, 0.45 of a degree. He said, but that could not possibly have been due to human activity because it couldn't have been due to CO2. He said, in the late 20th century, we had another 0.45, something like that, degrees heat, and everybody's blaming that on extra carbon. He said when the statistics are presented, they conveniently stop at different time frames and years and take time frames that support their theory. And so everybody is now panicking about climate change. And you know that girl, I forget her name, that spoke at the United Nations, and you saw the panic that's gone around the world about that, and people supporting it, and then people getting all upset and all worked up about climate change. But you know, I don't think we need to fear that at all. But the world is fearing it, and it's becoming more and more a climate of fear. I think also this transgender issue is one of fear. The reason that people wanted those relationships to be made legitimate was one reason, because they want to be accepted and they want the world to say this is okay. They don't want to be looked on as if they're different or that they're not living right or things aren't right in their life. They just want everybody to accept them. And so fear is driven and driven and driven until everybody says now, yes, it's all okay. I had something that the Australian Christian Lobby put out. Said the Royal Australian College of Physicians have waved a white flag on the surging number of Australian children with cases of gender dysphoria. Now, as soon as you start educating little children and putting, all you do is create fear in them. Well, maybe I'm meant to be a woman, I'm in a man. Maybe I'm meant to be a man and I'm a woman. And so it creates fear. And what happens is those children then start to fear, and then they talk to their parents and their school teachers and everybody else. Next thing you know, they said, we've got a solution for you. Leaving kids on a one-way street to hormone treatment and irreversible surgery, according to the Australian Christian Lobby. Dr. Michael Telfer's Melbourne Royal Children's Hospital Gender Clinic went from treating three children from 2003 to 2007 to over 1,000 by the end of 2018. Pediatrician Dr. Telfer is a prominent supporter of medical funding, doubling mastectomies for gender dysphoric teenage girls. To me, it's really all driven by fear. All driven by fear. And then when we come to this coronavirus, and I don't want to say too much, I've said already enough about it. Current cases this morning is 301,000 in the world. Current deaths is 13,000. That's according to John Hopkins University of Medicine, but obviously not everything's recorded. Nobody quite believes the numbers coming out of China or anything like that. But it's interesting, I just want to highlight the difference between the reaction in 2009 and 2010 to the swine flu, as we've had to the coronavirus. So in 2009, there was a flu pandemic of swine flu. It was an influenza pandemic that lasted from early 2009 to mid-2010. That's about 18 months. I'm not going to read it all. You can read it yourself in Wikipedia. It is estimated between 11% to 21% of the global population, or around 700 million to 1.4 billion people, of about 6.8 billion total, contracted the illness. More people than the Spanish flu epidemic, with about 150,000 to 575,000 casualties. They're estimating that maybe 1.4 billion had it, with 575,000 fatalities. Now, I lived through that, and I remember there was a little bit in the papers about it, a little bit in the news about the swine flu. But did we have the reaction that we've got today? Was there the fear in the world that we've got today? No, Satan's ramping up the whole culture until we're coming into a culture of fear. People are too frightened to do anything. We've got to be really careful on that. And the media hype. When you look at when President Obama came into power, they had a referendum on same-sex marriage. 60% said they were against it. 40% said they were for it. The media didn't stop. All of the advocates didn't stop. Even President Obama didn't stop. Until in the end, at the end of his presidency, it swung around so 40% were against it and 60% were for it. Never underestimate the power of the media or what we listen to. That's why it's so good to listen to the Word of God. It's so good to be under the Word of God. You say, oh, I don't want to hear about, we don't have to hear about the blood of Jesus every week. We don't need to hear about the cross. We don't need to keep on going on. But we do, you see. You see, because I want to be programmed not to fear, but I want to be programmed to face. I want to be programmed to believe God and to believe God's Word. But the media is programming people to fear and to doubt. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So, so what actually happens with fear, as I said, people become programmed to think in line with the majority. So one starts to panic and everybody starts to panic. One government puts restrictions, then another government puts restrictions, because if they don't, the population are going to say, how come we did nothing about it and these other countries did something about it? Yeah. Even back in the swine flu, I don't think that they were regularly reporting the numbers.
Right.
I don't know how many there were in Australia. They weren't testing, as far as I understand. It didn't seem like they were testing people. We lived through that. We heard about it. We knew it was bad, but we lived through that. We didn't worry about rushing to the supermarkets to get toilet paper or everything else, bags of rice and bags of flour. I did get a bag of rice, actually, little one. So, but what happens is people get programmed by the media to actually fear. And then everybody's fearing. And then the more they talk about germs and the more they talk about the spread of germs, the more nervous everybody is even to touch anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Even to go anywhere. And everybody's wanting to get all sanctified. But you know the Word of God promises us protection?
Right.
It does. As we said last week, it promises. And that's the charter that we've got to live by. That's the charter. Now, when we talk about epidemics, nothing compared to the ones I read to you last week. Nothing. Certain death. Certain death. Could you imagine if we'd buried 30 or 40 people? Well, there wouldn't be any left. You'd have to bury me with them. There wouldn't be any left. There's not that many of us. But could you imagine if, say, 20% of the congregation over a two-week period were buried? Now, instead of John Lake getting... I forget his name just at the moment.
Alexander
Dowie. Instead of him getting all panicky about it, he got angry.
Yes.
And he got angry with the devil.
Yes.
And he began to pray and come against that evil spirit. And guess what? Guess what? Never buried another person in his assembly. You see, fear is a terrible thing. When you fear it, we'll come a little bit more to that. So what happens under fear is you lose the ability to think rationally because you dare not question anything.
Yes.
You dare not question it.
Sure.
You dare not ask a question.
That's right.
Because you're bound by fear. And now you see everybody starts to say that which is politically correct. And everybody's too frightened. Not Christians now, but those that are bound by this fear, they're too frightened. It's almost sacrilege to say a word against any of these things, global warming or transgender issues or any of these things. And I guess it's probably the same with the coronavirus. It becomes totally unacceptable, politically unacceptable, and unacceptable by the world for you to say anything at all. So what is that? People are being bound by fear and by a culture of fear. Now that... there are conspiracies that go on. I actually do believe that.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure which one is true of the four that I've already heard of in regard to coronavirus. They've all got legitimate sources. They're all in contact with the top people in government. They all know this and they all know that and they're all well informed and everything else. And they put together various theories as to why, what started the coronavirus and everything else. And I've been sucked in years gone by, but that's enough. That's enough. That is not our charter to follow conspiracy theories. It is our charter to believe that God is sovereign and that he's in control and that if something is happening, God's allowed it to happen because he has all power and all control. So therefore, I'm not going to fear the conspiracy theories. I'm reading through Fox's Book of Martyrs again, and I tell you, it's eye-opening to think of what people went through. I mean, it's the terror and the fear that was driven into the people, and those that stood up were killed in the most horrific manners. Too much to talk about. So there's a loss of rational thinking. People become smitten with madness. And now they come up with this theory and that theory and everything else. They can't join the dots anymore until they're not thinking straight. They're not thinking straight. Doesn't make sense. It was a bit like your testimony, Ruth, when you stood up at school and then the school teacher or mistress or whoever it was, she had to stop and think that you had a point. Because she dare not think that way of herself, because it is not according to the political agenda. But if somebody's got a voice, may God help us be a voice for common sense. One of the curses of the law was to be smitten with madness. And a generation can be smitten with madness, with a lack of the ability to actually think sanely and sensibly and even question what everybody else is believing. That's where we're at today. And I just think, you know, Satan's just preparing everything for a complete world government. And we know all of these things are contributing to that. And one day it's going to set the scene and he's going to step on the scene. And there's going to be so much fear and so much panic in the world that he's going to come and stop it. And he's going to take control of things. And he said, these are the measures that we need to put in place. This is how we need to run the world. We can't have this individual country making rules that affects the rest of the global population. We will control climate change. We will control this. We will control epidemics. We will control everything that happens in the world and takes the world under its control, and it'll look very nice to start with. It'll look like a saviour has come on the scene, but in fact it'll be the Antichrist. Very attractive to people. So now I want to get on to and just talk about a few issues. My definition here of fear is that it is a negative faith. It is a negative faith. Faith actually brings good things towards you. Fear attracts the negative. And so fear is actually imparted by an evil spirit. Now, every one of us have at some time been troubled by fear. Every one of us, that enemy has come and tried to disturb our relationship with God by bringing fear into our lives. And there is nothing worse. And I say this, that the thing that Satan wants you to fear, the fear is worse than the thing itself. I remember when Sister Trudy was going through that, getting the panics and the fear attacks and everything else. And we were talking about it because I'd had a similar experience myself, nowhere near as bad as Sister Trudy was getting it. But we were talking about it, and I said, to me, the fear was the worst than anything else that I could imagine, because Satan will put a thought into your mind. You get a little pain here, a little pain there. You've got cancer, or you've got something like that, or, you know, all sorts of stupid things. Now, I never entertained that, but that's the kind of things that he tries to trouble you with. Little things that are not significant. He'll get you fearing. You know, the grasshopper becomes a burden to you. Every little tiny thing becomes a burden to you. I know that. I saw my own mother have a nervous breakdown. She used to cry because she didn't know, she couldn't make up her mind as to what to put on my father's lunch for his sandwiches. And she went through shock treatment and a whole lot of stuff and everything else because she had that disposition somewhat that she was she would worry and nervous, and she was far away from home and family and everybody out in Australia in the hot summers and the dusty roads, because we didn't even have bitumen down at Dover Gardens in those days, and no friends and so forth, and things got on top of her, really did, and she did have a nervous breakdown. I mean, she used to worry about every little thing, and that's how Satan works. And it's a lie.
Yes,
it's an absolute lie.
Yes,
we are not to fear him that can destroy the body,
yes,
but he that can cast both body and soul into hell. We have to fear the Lord. I fear the Lord, but I don't fear him in the sense of dread. I fear him because he is respected, he is reverenced. And as I said, when I was talking to Sister Trudy, she said the same thing. That the fear of what Satan was trying to put on her was worse than the thing if it actually existed, the sickness of it if it actually existed. Fear is negative faith.
That's right.
Fear attracts things to you. It attracts the things to your life that you actually feared. Job 3:25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. And so now Job actually had feared. Remember, every day he offered sacrifices for his children because he feared that they'd sin and judgment would come. And sure enough, God allowed Satan to take his children away and take all of his cattle away and his break down his their properties and so forth. And even God gave permission for his wife to curse him. And he said, the thing that I feared greatly, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Fear attracts negative things to your life. Fear attracts sickness.
Yes.
It actually does. It changes your metabolism. It changes the chemistry of your body because something happens when you start fearing. The chemistry of your body starts to change, and I believe it attracts illness. It attracts sickness. But you know, the chemistry of your body changes as well when you put your faith in God. It brings good things into your life. It brings good things into your experience. Praise the Lord. And then Job, when these things had come upon him, his counselors, all they did was counsel him to increase his fear.
Yes.
Let me just read something there to you that Job's counselor said, Eliphaz, I think it was, Job chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. This is speaking to Job. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Fancy giving that message to a man that has just lost everything and the thing that he greatly feared had come upon his life. And then you come along and you give him that kind of advice. When we get into a position of fear, we need to be encouraged to believe.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Even if you don't feel like you've got the faith, right. It's true anyway.
Right.
The word of God doesn't change with our faith or our unbelief. It always remains true.
Right.
So we stand upon the word of God.
Amen.
And confess that word. And often fear and anxiety visit in the night seasons.
Yeah.
We can misuse the word of God. The gospel can be preached with such, to create such fear.
Mm.
But let me tell you, it isn't fear of going to hell that drives us to the Lord. There's another attraction. His name is Jesus. There's another attraction. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to forgive and have mercy upon us. But you can actually preach it in such a manner that it becomes a thing of fear. And so people live in fear. I haven't had this experience, or I haven't had that. I'm not as close to the Lord as I need to be. Listen to me. All you do is turn to the Word of God and quote the Scriptures and say, Lord, I believe in you. And the Bible says, if I believe in you, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Believest thou this? He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So there's so many things in the scripture. Fear is a terrible thing. You know, you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to miss the rapture. We should never take that attitude. We should say, I'm going in the rapture. And if I don't have the Holy Ghost somewhere between this point in time and that resurrection, the Lord is going to give me the Holy Ghost. I don't know how, I don't know which way he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And I believe he's going to do it because I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I believed in him, I'm justified. The Bible tells me I'm justified. And those that he has justified, he has already glorified. So now there's the positive. That's the word of God. That's faith. That's what we've got to believe. We've got to believe we're going in the rapture. When it comes to a question of worthiness, I don't care whether you've got the Holy Ghost or not. None of us are worthy. It's by the grace of Almighty God. Now, faith is positive. Faith is imparted by Jesus Christ. As fear is imparted by the devil, faith is imparted by Jesus Christ. Faith secures and draws into our lives the good things of God's promises. Praise the Lord. And as I said, faith has a positive effect. We as sons and daughters of God, we live by faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not by our own faith, but the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
He gives us a portion of faith.
Yes.
It may only be a little portion.
Yes.
But you know, even that little portion is enough to 100% justify you in the sight of God.
Amen.
And somebody may have a larger portion, but they're no more justified.
Right.
Because you can't be anything less than 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. Ye of little faith, don't fear.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to his own disciples, ye of little faith.
Yeah.
But God transformed that faith.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Peter, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I thee.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk.
Yes.
God transformed that faith.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus said to them when they feared, when the storm came up, he said, oh, ye of little faith. When they saw him walking on the water, they thought it was a spirit. He said, oh, ye of little faith. They were beginning to fear.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Faith has that positive impact. God's message throughout all ages, search the Bible, is fear not.
Yes.
Look at the number of times Jesus said, fear not.
Yes.
He said, fear not in some of the most desperate situations.
Right. Amen.
He said, fear not to them so many times when they had every reason to fear.
That's right.
And you may have every reason to fear if you believe what everybody's telling you, if you believe what the media tells you. Now, they may be telling you some truth, but it's negative truth. It's truth that affects you in a bad way, not in a good way.
Right.
Fear not is still the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Fear not.
Praise the Lord.
Fear not. It is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
Yes.
All the way through the Bible. You just do a search on it. God's message is fear not. When Daniel was brought into the presence of Gabriel, and it was such a powerful presence that Daniel fell down as a dead man, flat on his face.
Yeah.
Not on his back, by the way. Flat on his face, he fell down as a dead man. No strength remained within him. But you know what? The angel Gabriel said to him, fear not, Daniel, for thou art a man greatly beloved. There you go. There's Daniel. He was a man greatly beloved. And yet, in that presence and that power of God, he fell down. But the message came to him, Daniel, don't fear this. This is God. Don't fear this. I come from the presence of Almighty God. And then there's an unconscious fear. And I think there's an unconscious awareness of things to come. In this world, it doesn't matter what people are saying. Somewhere in the back of everybody's mind is a conscience.
Yes. Right.
And somewhere, when they know we've got weapons that can destroy the entire world, people know. And there's unconscious fear.
Yeah.
Jesus talked about it. It's in the air. It's intangible. It's growing all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like animals that can sense the storm or the earthquake. The fear of the potential for global conflict and destruction. Jesus spoke about that unconscious fear. And it can be conscious as well. But Luke 21, verse 26 to 28, men's hearts failing them for fear.
Right.
And that's the age that we live in, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So time to lift up our heads.
Yes.
Time to lift up our heads.
Yes.
And the next thing that I want to say is the greatest fear. The greatest fear is the fear of death. There is no greater fear in this world today than the fear of death. Because when somebody says, I fear a global war, what they're saying is, I fear that this war may kill me. When they say, I fear a sickness, I fear cancer, they're really saying, I fear this cancer because this cancer may kill me. Or so the greatest fear, the ultimate fear, and the thing that nobody can avoid is death. But there's something that you and I can avoid, and that's the fear of it. That is the greatest fear. And I say, if we overcome the greatest fear, then all the other fears become less significant. Because all the rest are temporary. But death is very conclusive. It's very final. So in the face of death, all other fears pale into insignificance. It really is the greatest fear of the human race. I know people say, well, I'm not worried about that. I'm sure there's nothing beyond this life. And trying to convince themselves, they go and try and get balms of Gilead. Remember, the balm of Gilead was not the balm of God. That was some Arabian spice. And when Israel got sick, the prophet said to them, is there no balm in Gilead? Now you're sick, now you need help. Is there no balm in Gilead? Where are all your other solutions? Where are all your other answers to your needs? Is there no balm there? You know, they're coming to God because really he's the only answer. So, as I said, Jesus said that we're not to fear him that can destroy the body, but him that can cast both the soul and the body into hell. Hosea, even in the Old Testament, God prophesied it. Hosea 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Somebody has tasted the thing that the human race fears most.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Oh God, may our Christianity and our relationship with God be at such a level that even a message that death is coming to our door will not alarm us. That causes us to say, praise God, my pilgrimage is coming to an end. My journey is coming to an end. I'm going home to be with the Lord. And I shall ever be with him. Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2 verses 14 to 15. So for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Amen.
Listen to me. If the devil's going to give us fear of death, he's got to get through the blood that redeemed us.
Hallelujah.
And he can't get through the blood of the Lamb. He can't get through that blood. That blood stops all these accusations. And even that redemption that we have, the Lord delivers us from him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Salvation is a deliverance from fear. Salvation came to deliver us from the fear of death. That even if today we had to face it, may God give us the grace to say, I do not fear it. And I face it with courage. Not my courage, but I face it because Jesus tasted the power of that death for every one of us and overcame it. I had a testimony here from Fox's Book of Martyrs. It was a man by the name of Faninus. He was a martyr in Italy. On the day of his execution, he appeared remarkably cheerful. Now that has to be God, doesn't it? That has to be God. Which one observing said, It is strange you should appear so merry upon such an occasion, when Jesus Christ himself, just before his death, was in such agonies that he sweated blood and water. To which Faninus replied, Christ sustained all manner of pangs and conflicts with hell and death on our accounts, and thus by his sufferings freed those who truly believe in him from the fear of them. He was then strangled, his body burnt to ashes and scattered to the wind. Now that's a testimony of a man that has gone cheerfully to his death. Praise the Lord. Somebody said God isn't real. God's real when somebody does that. God's real when somebody can go praising God to martyrdom. Praise the Lord. The fear of death, once that's overcome through Jesus Christ, then all other fears pale into insignificance. May the Lord give us great faith. That's my prayer. Lord, give us great faith. Let us not be shaken. I mean, we are poor Laodiceans sometimes. That's how I sometimes think. We are poor, weak Laodiceans. God has to give us a special grace because of our weakness. When I think of these men and women that lived in Bible in the days of the persecution and what they went through, I realize that we are nothing compared to them, but it wasn't them. It was the grace of God in them. And the grace that God gave them to face being strangled, burnt to ashes and scattered to the wind is the same faith he'll give us to face whatever the enemy brings in our time. His grace is sufficient. The Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against the enemy. My prayer is, Lord, help my unbelief. Give me great faith, Lord Jesus, that I'll never be rattled and never be troubled, but that I'll stand fast and take the Bible as my charter for life and as my daily living and my direction for this pilgrimage here below. May God help us today. Well, faith turns the night into the day. Let's sing that, shall we? Thank you. Happy. Is everybody glad? I don't want to see you looking weary, and I don't want to see you looking sad. Just want to see you keep on smiling, for Jesus is at the door. Shouting hallelujah till we meet on the golden shore. Is everybody happy? Is everybody glad? I don't want to see you looking weary, and I don't want to see you looking sad.
Step off the way.
Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Siggy, will you commit us to the Lord this morning? We will have another service tonight, just as normal, but we'll just keep going as we have been.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for every day, Lord. Thank you for breath.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the little things, Lord. Thank you for food on the table.
Yes,
yes, thank you, Lord.
But Lord Jesus, the most important thing is for us to keep our eyes on you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
This world is full of fear, as Brian said, Lord. And fear of torment, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on you.
Yes, Lord.
Have the words of eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And there's no fear in that, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us to give our eyes on you.
Yes.
That is the most important thing. Jesus, Lord, I pray and commit everybody.
Yes,
all
Lord.
Our family, all our loved ones.
Yes,
Lord,
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless you all this morning.